Blog Talk Radio.
Time to watch this movie.
Neil Jones.
Shut the fuck.
98.
Ah!
It's ours.
Hey yo, regardless of rain or snow, sleet or hail, I kick street tales, choking niggas like I'm Freewell, Golden State, holding your fate in the palm of my hand, blow you away like it's part of the plan. I gotta call it like I see it, talking like I be it, walking my walk, thugged out, orthopedic, cause I'm soon to be up. Give me room, watch me heat up. Niggas try to stick me like Abdul-Rahima, follow the leader, make me go extra hard. Yo, Norris, should I hold back or show the repertoire? Quit at 16 or throwing extra balls just for the non-believers. I show them why it's so hard to reach us. I get pussy with my father's features. Puff heavily. See me at 6'1", weigh a buck 70. Catch me in spots y'all niggas never be. Packed in like Green Bay, Harlem Week to Queens Day. Performing a cappella, no DJ. 98 live, no replay. Make it seem easy. So tell a friend and tell a friend that it's them again. Noriega, Wild Remedy.
Champagne on the rocks, born to Fort Knox, Lazarus. Shark salad with carrots, pork chops and applesauce. Twin connection, disrespect and watch your body cave and pump the shoddy gate. And hit the shorty while he potty training. I ain't playing, I'm truly the worst. To be the first to get his whole body fully reversed. Uzi, your hurts, leave you double dead. I'm a bubble head. I never listen to nothing my mother said. And yo, I hold niggas ransom for money like Johnny Handsome. I sell a nigga so long, I think I got a grandson. My passion is money, a stash and a honey that won't ask no questions, but don't blast anybody. That's my kind of girl. Kind of world I wanna live in, not a cell or a prison or in hell. So I'm getting just a little ghetto where my niggas control the middle. And know the riddles of life, for others know only your little.
Rich places, sick places. See my story, 6,666 pages. Wages, I wrote 6 aces. And at the same dice game, I caught 6 cases. All over big faces. Now tip laces, ready to dig faces. But the bing, it ain't a bit spacious. Niggas building up their rib cages. Cats like the rip places, bloody lip faces. Kim is a big racist, but I stand for the big places. But the world know your girl though. I fuck her off a furlough. She'll be up, put me up. All your sales could be luck. Only question for these ducks is, baby girl, could we fuck? You the type that need a wife. LUX told y'all the key to life. Asshole, y'all don't play around. I lay it down, fuck around, I spray around. Flick a biscuit, nigga risk it, my ass.
Ain't no niggas in the world you know thorough than this. Bust off and sit the high barrel dead on your lips. Like 2/3 of a brick. Panero and Kiss, the crystal white fluffy parts that I come back with. See, the plan is to stash y'all, cash y'all. The weed's so strong, they gotta put it in glass jars. Niggas try to smoke me out, then smoke me out. The rims on my new joint be poking out. I'm about to have no feelings, shit is deep. Do they dance with the devil when they sleep? I wake up gripping the air, wishing to hear shit that they kick in your ear when your soul drifts in the air. My gift is half rotten when I spit it to dead. That shit is dropped down my eye, I'm too tired to cry. And I ain't never seen a nigga that's too live to die. They say you get what you ask for, get it cause you ask for it. A nigga ain't a thief, then he better have the cash for it. And we gon' be around till your body rot. And if the feds brung us in, we get the same time Gotti got. Nigga,
hey yo, it's 2 ways, into the hood, one plane. Y'all been smoking chronic like straight to the brain. Yo, let's get loose, Hennessy straight, with tomato juice, Queen Stallion. My guns from the Italian. Now y'all niggas recognize medallions. I play the best hood, OT with Tim Westwood. Used to be on Section 8, now my section is good. Dogged out, nigga, he wants to be good. And I don't give a fuck what, y'all save my shit. And I don't give a fuck what, you can save your shit. Y'all niggas like extra skin on my dick. Listen to Bob Marley, y'all funny niggas like Steve Harvey. Fighting live with a weak army. I play the nice guy, true, and he can smoke with you. But the realness, I ain't got no love for you. That's why I never do a song with you. Not even if your baby mom's fucked the crew and promised to give us head when we swallow it too. I still say no, no is no, no can do. My niggas drinking Haterade, drinking my flow. Yo.
Yo, yo, what it do?
What's happening? What's going on, y'all?
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Skybox. It's your boy, Chills. Y'all know my co-host, my partner in crime, the other half of the CNC Connection.
Dude, the most electrified man in internet radio, DC People Champ. We hear y'all. We just saying. We just here. We here. We here.
Always, always.
Let's get it going. Yes, indeed. We're gonna kick this thing off with a quick three. And the first quick three story is a very sad one out of the world of MMA. Jordan Parsons a few days ago was struck by a Range Rover as he was walking across the street in Florida. And originally the story came out that he was that he had his leg right leg partially amputated. But since then, it was reported earlier this morning that he has passed away. The man who fought for Bellator MMA was only 25 years of age. He had an 11-2 record as an MMA fighter, and he actually was a part of the Billions training group with Anthony Rumble Johnson and Rashad Evans. Bellator MMA President Scott Coker said in a statement that, quote, "It is with profound sadness that we announce the passing of a dear member of the Bellator family, Jordan Parsons." He would go on to say that Parsons was, quote, an exceptional athlete and a rising star in the sport, but more importantly, he was an exceptional young man. Again, the accident was a hit-and-run, which actually took place Sunday morning. And they say that officials said that Parsons may have been wearing headphones and was unable to hear the car approaching. And the driver of the Range Rover has still yet to be found. But officials have vowed that they are going to prosecute this person to the fullest extent of the law. So, once again, Bellator MMA fighter Jordan Parsons killed after a hit-and-run crash on Sunday. He passed away today at the age of 25. All right, number two.
Oh, rest in peace.
Yes, indeed, rest in peace. Number two, Justin Tuck is planning on Friday to sign his ceremonial one-day contract so he can retire with the New York Giants. Tuck announced his retirement. He announced his retirement earlier this year, but decided he's going to sign his one-day contract and retire with the team that he started with when he came into the league and played with for 9 seasons out of his 11 seasons he has played in the NFL. Tuck won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants in 2007 and 2011, both against the New England Patriots. He spent his final 2 seasons of his career in Oakland. The ceremonial deal will bring his career full circle. He had 60.5 sacks in 9 seasons with the Giants, and his 2 years in Oakland were less productive, and a torn pectoral muscle contributed to his decision to retire back in February. So Justin Tuck will sign that contract on Friday and officially retire. And who knows? I think he might be a second ballot Hall of Famer, maybe. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
And finally, in wrestling news, former Intercontinental Champion Ryback has been pulled from TV indefinitely due to a current contract dispute that he has going on with World Wrestling Entertainment. The word backstage is that the WWE star was sent home on Monday with one story claiming that he asked to be pulled from TV. The reasoning behind all of this is that his contract is expiring this summer and the two sides are at odds in the negotiation. As many people know, Ryback actually worked at the Payback pay-per-view pre-show against Kalisto for the United States title and lost. And, again, it was done on Monday that he was pulled from TV and sent home. And that's basically what we know. He did, Ryback did release a statement saying that he felt that everyone should be paid equally instead of the whole winners get paid more than the losers. He's getting a lot of flack for that, but that's his thought process on everything. He wants there to be something equal and right now it looks as if that we may never see him on TV again on WWE. He might end up somewhere else. Who knows? But yeah, Ryback no longer on TV, and that is your quick three for this evening.
I have a question for you, Chad. I have a question.
What's up?
Will Ryback be missed on TV?
Nope. Moving on.
Pretty much. But I actually want to talk about this a little bit, though. I mean, he felt as though that losers should make the same amount as winners. That's like saying Kalisto deserves to be paid what a main eventer would make. That's like I don't know, Santino asking for John Cena type money. I mean, I understand
you're supposed to
know your worth and all that, but come on now. No.
But you know what's crazy, though, is that Val Venus ripped into Ryback on his Twitter, basically calling him financially incompetent for the most part in a series of tweets that he put out. So, yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, Ryback, I mean, you're right. You should know your worth, but at the same time, this kind of business, I mean, that's always usually how it is that, you know, people who are in main event spots or who win a lot get paid more. And, I mean.
But of course. They bring the money.
Yeah, but it is a predetermined. They are predetermined outcomes, but still, I mean, it is what it is. And if he's got an issue with it, then, you know, he can stay his ass at home and go do indie bookings and see what kind of money he gets out of that, and then watch him go to another major promotion after that. Money he's making now, it'll be very, very, very less than that on the indie circuit.
All right, let's move it on. Where do we start off? NHL playoffs? Yep.
I wanted to start with Payback, since we can do that.
Since we already talked about Ryback, just as, you know. Sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, we can start Payback. We can go through the card. I watched the whole pay-per-view, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I was not impressed in the least.
Oh, not my long shot.
You know, but here are the results for those of y'all who may not have seen it or may have read, but we're going to go over the results yet again. The pre-show had two matches, Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin. Ziggler did get the victory over Baron Corbin. And Kalisto retained his United States Championship over Ryback. On the main show, the first match was the tag team number one contenders tournament sponsored by Bootios. And the match ended very, very quickly because of an injury suffered by Enzo Amore of the team of Enzo and Cass. Enzo Amore was whipped into the ropes and tried to slide under. His head and face hit the second rope, and then his head hit the mat hard, and he was knocked unconscious for several minutes. The referee called for the bell. They later would give the match to the Vaudevillains, but the Vaudevillains are listed in the record books as the winners of that match, but Enzo did have to be taken to a hospital. It was revealed that he only suffered a concussion, which is great news given how see that look. He only had a concussion, so he's been pulled from events all the way up until the end of the month to give him time to get, you know, heal from that concussion, because we all know that concussion led to the retirement of Daniel Bryan, so they don't want to take a chance of rushing him back, and then he ends up not being able to continue his career. So,
exactly.
Enzo and Cass Enzo and Cass is going to be on the show for a little bit. So Cass is still doing his thing.
Yeah, I mean, Cass probably do some solo work, but I mean, I actually did see Payback. I was sitting down on my desktop watching it from the WWE Network. So I'm watching it. I saw that nasty slide. The way his neck bounced off the ropes, then hit the ring apron, then he fell, hit the ground. Yeah, that was nasty. The fact that he actually only had a concussion, I mean, God. God was on his side. Just the way it looked, and they kept showing it in slow motion, like, oh my God, can y'all, I mean, I'm at home, like, oh my God, can y'all stop? I mean, I know y'all want to show it to everyone that probably just, that didn't see it from the beginning, but, ew, like, I mean, seeing that made me cringe a little bit.
Right.
Because I know what it's like to have a concussion, so seeing that, I was like, oh my God, oh man, I'm glad he's okay. Because I mean, that could have been a lot worse. I mean, he could have broke his neck and been paralyzed on the way down. I mean, his neck could have snapped. I mean, a lot of things could have happened due to that hit. Like, oh man. But honestly, yeah, I think the WWE know better not to they pretty much keep him on the shelf due to Daniel Bryan situation. Also, they're not trying to take that risk like the NFL did a few years ago, which led to Dr. Bennett pretty much exposing the truth about CTE in concussions. But that's a different story. But I'm glad he's okay now. Moving on with the rest of that car. The rest of that car.
The rest of the car. KO, Kevin Owens, defeated Sami Zayn in what was an awesome matchup. That was a great matchup. I actually got to watch it over again, that match. Yeah. And it was a fun match to watch. I really enjoyed watching it. Then after that, they had the Intercontinental title match between Cesaro and The Miz. A lot of shenanigans, a lot of funky stuff, and boom, there you go. Miz retains his championship. Yay, hooray, whatever. So that happened. I'm just saying. A great match that happened was Natalya and Charlotte for the women's championship. Well, that was a great match, but then it got ruined by some straight shit-duckery. Like, did we really go back to 1997 with this shit? Like, really? Did this really just happen? Did it really happen? We went back to 97, didn't we?
Honestly, yeah, we did. I'm sorry, but I almost gave up on that show after that. Like, Part of my mind didn't even want to watch it no more. I mean, more now for real. I mean, this is the best that y'all can do right now. Y'all gonna make us relive the whole Montreal screw job, the 97 Survivor Series. Then the fact that Bret Hart was in the building too. Come on now. So now we have a male and female version of the 97 Survivor Series. God, good job, y'all. Thank you, WWE.
Crazy.
Good job, writers.
Crazy. Yeah, exactly. And then after the match, though, Ric Flair and Charlotte both ended up in sharpshooters, which was, you know, fun. And it was good to see Bret Hart out there, you know, fresh off of, you know, beating prostate cancer back in February and everything. It was good to see him out there.
I mean, it's always great.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho went at it in a pretty good match. Dean Ambrose got the victory over the Ayatollah, Y2J, the best in the world at what he does, things like that. They finally announced Vince McMahon came out, they had a segment where Vince McMahon came out and announced who was going to be running Monday Night Raw. And it was revealed that the person running Monday Night Raw is going to be both Shane and Stephanie McMahon. They're both going to be running Raw. So essentially that whole match at WrestleMania with The Undertaker and Shane McMahon meant absolute dick, because now Shane's, you know, one half of the team, the one half of the management team for Raw. So yeah,
I can't say that it didn't really mean shit because I mean that match was ratings, so it meant something. I mean the stipulation. But, of course, you already knew the stipulation wasn't going to really mean much. But the overall impact of that match, I mean, it really helped make WrestleMania. But we actually have a caller. 8054. Welcome to the Skybox.
Everyone, how you guys doing? You know, Champ, Chills, this is Black POP here. Yeah, I'm here to step in and drop a meteor on the conversation. First and foremost, guys, I really do appreciate everything that you guys do. I love the Skybox. I don't get to call in enough. Certain shows, much like the draft show, I don't understand because I'm not that much of a sports guy. But I'm going to directly look Chills in the face over the phone and ask him, what's going to happen when the Redskins get that ass handed to them by Pittsburgh in week one?
Honestly, I'm not scared of this. I'm not scared of this week one matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's why. First reason, the Pittsburgh Steelers of now, they don't have the steel curtain like they once did. That defense used to be ferocious. It's not really that no more. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Steelers are a great team. But this is not the same team that won two Super Bowls in the past 10 years. I mean, this, I'm looking at this like we actually have a shot in this game. I mean, I don't have no hate against the Steelers because I actually been to Pittsburgh before. It's a nice town. I actually like it. I enjoy myself. But I'm actually looking forward to this game.
I would disagree with you on that point because Pittsburgh is actually a shitty racist town. But my question, again, for both of you guys, it's a horrific town. But my follow-up question to that, I came with the hype and that was cool, that's funny. But my follow-up question is, how does that define the entire Redskins season? If Kurt and Snyder and, you know, all the doubters out there come in with a win over the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one, how does that define the season? Does that set the tone for the mission of the Redskins?
Honestly, every win sets the tone for the mission. Every team has a mission. You're supposed to live each week by week. Take each game one game at a time. So, I mean, but of course, a win over Pittsburgh will be a good way to start your season. However, each game means a lot. Each game can set the tone for your season. I mean, beating Pittsburgh will be a great start. But, I mean, just because we beat Pittsburgh, that doesn't mean we're going to be a playoff team. Not to sound doubtful, but I'm being realistic. I mean, we've beaten plus 500 teams in the past and still finished below 500. Being a great team doesn't mean anything until the season is over.
I will say this. you know, winning a game against a quality team like the Steelers in the first, you know, first game out, you know, would set a pretty good tone. But who are smart would not rest their laurels on a victory such as that, given the schedule that we have. I mean, you're going to be facing not only the NFC North, but you're going to be facing the AFC North. You're going to also be facing the NFC champions, the Carolina Panthers, and you're going to be facing the team who the Carolina Panthers beat to get to that game, Arizona. It's a murderous row. So a win against Pittsburgh will only, you know, be just that, a win. Because anything can happen those other 15 games in the season, especially when you have games against teams like the Ravens, like Cincinnati, like Carolina, like Arizona. Of course, your own division twice in a year. Against Green Bay, who embarrassed you at home in the playoffs last year, or earlier this year, against Minnesota, who's starting to have a resurgence, against the Chicago Bears, who, you know, their defense is still pretty stout, not overwhelming, but pretty stout. So a win against Pittsburgh would be just that, it'll be a nice win, but. You know, I would hope people would not rest their laurels on such a victory and think that the season's going to be all great. You know what I'm saying? And that's just my thought on it.
My second question to both of you, and I asked this on Hurtout. This is a great question. You have the Redskins, you have the Caps, who honestly just literally choked to death on Saturday night. They did. I was working at my bar in DuPont Circle, and everyone was out there with their Caps gear and jerseys and hats and jackets on, and the nanosecond they lost against a Pittsburgh team, that's why I referenced the Steelers, the second they lost, the entire city shut down. Everybody went home. It was checked. Fuck this. I'm going home. DC United doesn't do well. The Wizards don't do well. Again, the same question from the show I was just on earlier. Does DC have this issue where they can't take a loss? Is DC a losing town?
I will say yes and no. And here's why. Yes, because, I mean, you look at the history of the pro teams here, the Redskins have made the playoffs a couple times in the last few years, but haven't really done much. I mean, they made the playoffs twice in the last 5 years.
4 years.
4 years. You're right. 2012 and then 2015, they made the playoffs as division champions, but couldn't get out of the wild card round. Boom, there you go. Before that, they were just perennial losers. The Washington Wizards, they started to have a resurgence, but then this year it all went downhill. That's why Randy Whitman's lost his job, and that's why they got a new coach, and hopefully things will change there. But, you know, before that, they made the playoffs, you know, here and there. The Caps always seem to do well in the regular season. This year they were President's Cup champions. For people who don't know what that means they had the absolute best record in all of the NHL, better than any of the other 30-odd teams in the NHL. They had the best record out of all of them. But right now they have a 2-1 deficit to make up against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and right now that game is tied at 2 apiece. Going into the third period. So they have to win this game in order to make sure that they can take this game to game five and make it a super must win. I say no because if you look at DC United in the beginning stages of the MLS, DC United was owning the MLS. They won MLS Cups like it was going out of style. They haven't won much since then, but they were the ones that had that created the first dynasty in MLS. Then you go back to the Yes, the Nats, and the Orioles. I mean, mostly the Nats, though. You know, they have up and down seasons. I mean, they were the Montreal Expos, for Christ's sake, and the Montreal Expos were always losers. They come to D.C., and they've been up and down. So my answer is yes and no.
Honestly, the sports franchises in this city haven't really had the proper people around them to build consistency. The Wizards and Caps well before this season been consistent playoff contenders, but I mean that's about it. Honestly, as far as championships, I think every franchise is very far, except for the DC United. I think the Skins are trying to get there with Scott running the show. The Wizards are missing too many pieces. The reason why they had the downfall this season is the simple fact that, one, injury. Two, you only have John Wall. No one on the Wizards team scares me offensively. Nationals, I still look at them as a brand new team because, I mean, yes, they was in Montreal, but they're still brand new to DC. They haven't been here long enough for me to really judge them.
And my last moment, and I'm sorry to interrupt, guys. My last thing that I want to talk about that happened over the weekend when the Caps, had their bad night. There was an old Caucasian gentleman. This guy was Caps out. He had a Caps jersey, a Caps jacket, and a Caps hat on. And he took his hat off and threw it on the bar. And he said, "DC does it again." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The district fucking chokes." Of course, I burst out laughing. But I saw the frustration. I saw the frustration and the difficulty, in the eyes of your casual DC sports fan. And I don't know how long, that can sustain. You have people clinging to the Cleveland Browns because of RG3. You have people, in D.C. who are suddenly Cowboys fans. They've never, ever, 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 ever in their goddamn life been to Dallas. You have people who are turning on the D.C. sports base. And for me, personally, financially, I think that's an issue. People do not like what Snyder is doing as far as breaking the DC sports fans over the coals. Going against what's it called? I'm sorry. When you show up early and you party before the game. What's that called, guys?
Tailgating.
Yes. Snyder breaking in, pulling in money off the tailgating people. What's next for the DC sports fan? And I'm out. Guys, thank you for letting me on.
Thank you, my GOP. Appreciate you.
You're supporting the team.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Thanks to Black GOP for coming on. Those questions were pretty good, man.
I want the city and the area I live in to do well. I want them to be happy. You know what I mean? But the disappointment is painful for me. You know what I mean?
No, I see. It definitely is. Appreciate it though. where my man Chills is at.
Oh my ear, you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you. So Chills, you wanna move on? We can talk NHL playoffs. But before we do that, I'm pretty sure everybody knows the results of the WWE World Heavyweight title match, so we don't need to talk about that because then you're going to go into a rage and we don't need all that. We got to keep it moving. So we're going to keep moving and talk about the NHL playoffs, which are still going on. We're still in second round action, and here's how these second round playoff matchups are so far. The East, Tampa Bay currently has a 2-1 series lead over the Islanders. Tampa Bay took that 2-1 lead after defeating the Islanders yesterday, Tuesday, by a score of 5-4 in New York. They will play Game 4 on this coming May the 6th, actually, which is that a Thursday or Friday? That's Friday. I'm sorry. So they will play again on Friday in New York for Game 4. The other Eastern Conference second round matchup pits the Washington Capitals against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Black GOP just brought that up. Right now the Penguins have a 2-1 series lead, but they are 2-2 in the third period of Game 4 tonight up there in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, Washington went out to a 1-0 series lead winning game 1 in Washington, but then the Penguins have won 2 straight, 2-1 and then 3-2. All right, right now trying to win 3 in a row to force the Caps to win 3 straight, 2-3 at home in order to move on to the conference finals. On the West, St. Louis currently has a 2-1 series lead over Dallas. Dallas and St. Louis will actually play Game 4 tomorrow night, Thursday night, in St. Louis. St. Louis took that 2-1 lead on Tuesday after a 6-1 thrashing of the Stars. And then the other second-round match in the Western Conference, San Jose has a 2-1 series lead over Nashville after a win on Tuesday night, 4-1 in Nashville. Game 4 will be in Nashville tomorrow night. So tomorrow night's games are going to be all Western Conference. And then Friday will be the one Eastern Conference game between Tampa Bay and the Islanders. And then Saturday it will be both Western Conference second-round matchups and then the East – Pittsburgh and Washington at Verizon Center. So that's how it stands right now in the playoffs. It looks as though Washington needs to get it together. They want to make it to the conference finals and face either Tampa Bay or the Islanders.
Well, that was nice. All right. Move on to the NBA side of things. We got a little bit more time left.
All right.
One second.
Well, I got the matchups right here. Second round matchups in the NBA playoffs. We'll start in the West.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll start in the West. San Antonio and Oklahoma City, they're tied at 1 apiece. San Antonio took the first game 124-92. OKC won the second game 98-97. They will play game 3 Friday night in OKC. And then game 4 will be on Sunday night in OKC. The other second round matchup, Golden State currently has a 2-0 series lead over Portland. They took the first two games, 118-106 in Game 1, 110-99 in Game 2. Game 3 will not take place until Sunday night in Portland. No, Saturday night, I should say. I'm sorry. Saturday night in Portland, and then Monday in Portland for game four. So Golden State looking to try to get a sweep here of Portland and just have a nice little rest before the Western Conference Finals, in which they can probably get Steph Curry back. Eastern Conference, Atlanta is in a 2-0 hold to Cleveland after a 104-93 victory in game one. And then tonight, Cleveland.
They got their asses whooped.
Yeah, Cleveland whooped their ass. It was 123-98. So they're going to switch to Atlanta for games three and four, taking place Friday night and then Sunday night. So Cleveland's looking to get a sweep there. And in the other second round matchup, Toronto is down 1-0 over Miami. That first game was actually very exciting because it went into overtime after a half court shot was made at the buzzer to force the game in the overtime. Like, I actually saw the clip of that, and I was just like, whoa, did that really just happen? Like, really? I'm trying to see who made the shot here. One second, I almost got it. It was Kyle Lowry of the Raptors who made a three-point running jump, three-pointer from half court, 39 feet, nothing, like all, pretty much net to make it to force overtime. But Miami would go on to win it in overtime, 102-96. They will play game two Thursday night in Toronto before shifting to Miami for games three and four on Saturday night and Monday night. So those are what you're looking at NBA-wise. I know you had something to say about what happened with San Antonio OKC.
About honestly, yeah, because their win was slightly controversial. It was 13 seconds left on the clock. OKC was inbounding. On the inbound pass, an OKC player elbowed Manu Ginobili before he threw the ball up to Kevin Durant. For those who know basketball, know that that's technically an offensive foul, but it didn't get called. So on the inbound play, he tried to throw it to Durant, which pretty much got intercepted, and the Spurs actually still had a chance to get off a shot. But the difference in that game was if that offensive foul would have been called, the Spurs would have actually been able – that would have stopped the clock and gave the Spurs a chance to call off a play to execute. But honestly – it should make this series interesting considering that both teams are actually tied going into game three, which will be Friday night. How do you feel about the NFL draft? Were you happy with the pick?
I told you I need my ketchup and my pepper so I can eat my words, because I did not think that dude from North Dakota State was going to get picked in the top 10, and he got picked number 2. So, yeah.
Okay. I pretty much knew he was one number two once Philly made that retarded ass trade. But yeah, matter of fact, before we get our breakdown on, I want to bring somebody on the line. 7889. What are your thoughts on your team's draft? Go.
Well, good evening, fellas.
Hey,
that's what, oh my God. Why did they even pick dude with the belly shirt? I was so disgusted with that. Plus,
oh, you mean Ezekiel Elliott? You mean Ezekiel Elliott? Oh. But hold on. You know, I actually changed my mock draft after the show last week. I actually had Dallas going for Joey Bosa, but I actually switched it. Something told me that he was going to get Ezekiel Elliott. So I did. I switched it to Ezekiel Elliott, and God, what the hell? us listening to Ezekiel Elliott, and there you go. They drafted Ezekiel Elliott. I was shocked that Samuel took it. Carla, can you turn your phone volume down?
Sorry, I'm on speaker. I apologize.
But,
okay.
I was shocked that San Diego Chargers took Joey Bosa. I mean, that caught me off guard. I mean, I didn't think they would actually focus
right.
on the defense. But, I mean, even still, I mean, I knew Dallas was getting Ezekiel. Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Cowboys. Thank you.
Shut
Your
up.
Draft, it made me smile.
Yeah, and we
That's
have someone that we can't play. Yeah, and we don't have someone that can't play until 2017, which is another
okay.
blower.
Okay.
No, it is not.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Good evening, fellas. Chills. Sam,
so,
how
I mean,
are you all?
We're great. Well, I mean, what's your overall thoughts on all your team's overall draft? Like, I mean... beyond Ezekiel Elliott, beyond Jalen Smith. Are there any pieces in the draft that actually said, okay, maybe we did something right?
I have a feeling that Ezekiel will actually make an impact on the team. Maybe. But, hey, I'm not going to know anything until the season comes along. But he's already making a little controversy of his own besides the damn belly shirt when that girl was on when that girl got him on Snapchat. Did y'all see that?
Hey.
Yeah, I did. I don't wanna talk about that. This is a family show.
No, I'm just
this is a family
I was just
show.
I wasn't even gonna go any further. No.
Bruh,
this show is rated PG. Okay.
I can't believe that dude already got caught up by some thought, and he ain't even played a down in the NFL yet. I'm like, bruh.
I had to put my phone down
first
and walk away.
First of all, okay. This is why this is how Bama's get caught up because I mean you're in the age of social media, so. Whatever you're going to do, there can be no phones around.
No, not at all.
You got a problem with that, you can bounce. But, no. I don't want my stuff on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or Tumblr or, hell, I don't even want my stuff on Vine.
What homie should have did was, after he did his business, he should have put her in an Uber and sent her the hell away or left himself to fall asleep. Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
Exactly. Come on now. You don't fall asleep in the bed with a random. Come on
Not
now.
At all.
Are you serious me? But,
he should have put that hoe in an Uber or something. Okay,
Let's keep this moving.
Yeah.
Okay, so Champ, what are your thoughts on the Redskins' overall draft?
I like it. They went out and they got a hell of a receiver. I actually watched his highlight reel on YouTube right after he
mm-hmm.
was drafted, and the kid is a freaking monster. He is a freaking monster.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Gruden seems to favor him as being almost like another A.J. Green. He has very solid hands. He's tall. I think one of the weaknesses they said that some of the experts says, you know, him being able to get off of the line on bump and run coverage. But he will make a great goal line target because of his height and the fact that he has such solid hands. It's a great fit. And then on top of that, they went and they got some more pieces to fill their needs on defense. They even went and got another quarterback because, you know, with RG3 gone to Cleveland, you know, they only have maybe two quarterbacks on the roster. Colt and Cousins, Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy. So you know you need that third quarterback. Probably gonna end up on the practice squad anyway, but it's always good to have that third quarterback on the roster. But all in all, it was a pretty good draft. A lot of experts gave grades for the Redskins draft between A and a B, including one expert gave them an A- for their draft, which is one of the best grades out of the entire division. So, yeah, I mean, it's obvious that, you know, Scott McLuhan is definitely showing his weight in gold in terms of how he's, you know, doing this.
All right, here are my thoughts. I loved it. Every single pick. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
First round.
Y'all had a nice try.
First round. In the back of my mind, I knew we was going to get an inside defensive lineman, a nose tackle in the first round. Then I saw all these big name defensive tackles / nose tackles still on the board going into the second round. I'm like, hold up, something ain't right. Matter of fact, not even the 20th when he got down to the 20th pick of the first round. I'm saying all these big name nose tackles and defensive tackles still on the board trying to figure out what's going on. So something told me that okay, we just traded down one pick. We might not be getting that nose tackle in the first round. It's funny because earlier that night I told one of my coworkers that Pierre Garçon is gone. He's going to be gone within the next year or two. I mean, he's already on a contract year. So fast forward, I kind of started changing my mind on the draft pick. Then we selected Josh Doctson. It all opened up. From me saying that Pierre would be gone to the fact that all these defensive tackles and those tackles were still on the board to the fact that we pretty much went receiver, who's a 6'2", 202 receiver with a 41-inch vertical. So I was like, oh, I mean, I was caught off guard with that pick, but I loved it. It was a great pick. It was something that we needed because we don't have a red zone threat outside of Jordan Reed. I mean, that one skin receiver is over 6 feet tall. Then, I mean, the next pick was Sua Craven. Great pick. He was a beast at Southern Cal. He was a great Trojan. I mean, safety / linebacker. He can tackle in the open field. He can still play coverage. I mean, he doesn't have the best vertical, and he does get deep in coverage. But he was a good pickup, especially for him to be on the board in the second round. Third round, I was kind of surprised with Kendall Fuller. I was surprised but not disappointed because, I mean, he was great in Virginia Tech. So I'm thinking, okay, fourth round is going to be the pick where we get our nose tackle. This is going to be the pick where we take Andrew Billings off the board. Then I stopped to think, hold up, if Andrew Billings is still on the board in the fourth round, what the fuck is wrong with him? I was like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to get our nose tackle in a later round. But overall, I'm happy. Not one complaint.
Chill.
Yo.
I think you guys outdid us for the draft this year.
Oh, yeah,
we did. And y'all did.
We did.
Fantastic pick.
I mean, I knew middle linebacker nice, running back nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we got some nice pieces.
Y'all got some very nice picks this year. And may the best team win, because you know how strong the rivalry is between my team and both you and Champ.
Mm-hmm. I have a burgundy and gold jersey ready for you.
I'll swallow my pride and probably wear it. How about that?
Oh. Shoot, swallow your pride. I'm trying to reverse you over. Because you're going to get tired of, them Dallas South are disappointing.
Never that. Never that. My grandfather would be proud.
Huh?
My grandfather would be proud because he was a Redskins fan. If I ever did convert, he hated the fact that I was a Cowboys fan. He hated it. But,
make granddad proud. Make him smile.
I'll think about it. But, you know,
Mama's doing it.
I like to see what Ezekiel's gonna do once the season starts. But honestly, somebody just get Jerry Jones and put him in a damn home already. Please.
You better hope Ezekiel Jackson can pass block so that y'all age quarterback don't get broken and hit in the dust or something like that.
Oh my god, yes.
Okay. Hey,
we need it.
Y'all guys remember? Hey, y'all remember that old cartoon from like the mid '90s called the Mutant League?
I'm sorry.
Y'all remember that cartoon from the mid '90s called the Mutant League?
Yes.
Yeah, how they especially when they played, it was like people who the mutants would actually get either break bones or get killed on it. That's what Tony. That's what Tony Romo reminds me of every time he gets touched. Every time he steps back, the drop. And his best offensive line in the league lets him get banged up.
This is going to be a very interesting season.
I'm ready for it.
Better have some humble pie on standby.
It's funny because I'm gonna be at that game with wifey, and if my team wins, it might be one of them awkward car rides home. Cause wifey's a Cowboys fan, so I'm like, ooh, if we win, I'll probably feel the cold stare on me as we're driving back down 495. Especially if Romo gets turned into dust after he gets hit by Brian Kerrigan. Okay, all right. Is the show almost over? Because I'm about to start going in. Okay,
all right. Go ahead. You have 2 minutes and 39 seconds to go in. Go.
No. I'm gonna just talk briefly. I saw the story you posted in our group, TSOTS Presents the Skybox, about Hall of Famer Bobby the Brain Heenan, who is hospitalized after a fall this morning, according to a tweet from Mean Gene. He'll be in the hospital for a few days. There's been no word on what exactly his injuries are, but it's obvious that if they're giving him a couple of days to be in the hospital, then it's not that serious. But he is up there in age, and he has gone through battles with tongue cancer, throat cancer, and jaw infection since his initial diagnosis in 2002, and he is 71 years of age. So I'm hoping that the Bobby the Brain will be okay, and you know, Godspeed to him.
Prayers to him.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing for any of my wrestling fans out there that are listening, especially those that are listening in the Baltimore area, the BEWA is hosting its WrestleMania style show this coming Saturday, Legacy 8. Show starts around 12, and it will be a 6-hour show. A lot of really fun, a lot of good matches. Should be fun. I'm going to be a part of it, of course. And if you want to get details on where the show will be taking place and everything like that, just hit me up. just hit me up with an email at dcspeopleschamp@gmail.com. Again, dcspeopleschamp@gmail.com, and I can give you the address. I can't give it out to you publicly, but I can definitely give it to you in a private email, and you can, you know, come out and see some really fun wrestling. You never know. Maybe I might wrestle Snaps. I won't. I am 3-0, though.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
I am 3-0. Shoot.
Uh-oh. Do we start to go for his hand or nah? Do we start to go for his hand or nah?
Nah.
Nah. Okay. No. Well, hey, guys, it's been real. It's been fun. You can catch DC People's Champ tomorrow night on Mic Check. That show starts at 10 p.m. We also have His and Hers on Friday night. We have The Refresh on Sunday. We'll be back next Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll holler. Thanks for listening to the Skybox.
Peace out, y'all.